The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play! Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Happy Monday. We've got some sleepers. Now, we did sleepers about a month ago, but this is a different list. The NFL draft has obviously changed some things. We're going to give you some fresh names as well. We spent so much time talking about Ezekiel Elliott recently. We didn't really talk about Rico Dowdle. He's on the list. We have the Fantasy Cops coming on later. Tua Tagovailoa is also on the list. I'm going to tell you, I Azerstatted the crap out of this one. I looked at the games over the last two seasons where Tua, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, they were all healthy, played a pretty normal snap share, but not the games like where there were blowouts and they sat. But anyway, in like the real games where everyone was healthy, Tua is averaging almost 23 points per game. Okay, that's enough to make him a top six quarterback per game each of the last 2 years.
How many games was that?
23 games over two seasons. Games. Yeah. So it's a big sample size because, you know, there were some games where Tyreek Hill didn't play, you know, even 50% of the snaps, but it was a blowout. I'm not going to take that away from him. Anyway, guys, I have my jersey on for the big game tonight. Hope you guys are ready.
Big game.
Yeah. Knicks game one, Panthers game one, but I have got my softball jersey on. Look at that. The peppercorns.
Wow. So you're part of the team?
I told you I'm part of the team. I paid my dues. I got my shirt. And I'm bringing my league-leading 1,000 batting average to tonight's game. Anyway, big night of sports for everybody. So I'm picking one of your sleepers to highlight. That's what we're starting with. I get to pick. Dave?
Yeah.
Khalil Shakir, still on the sleepers list here. He was drafted almost in round 11, the 11th pick of round 10 in the draft we did last week. Still a sleeper, even with the addition of the quotable Keon Coleman.
I think Coleman is fun to follow, and he's obviously got a great personality. Every single video that's come out on social media about him has been very entertaining. I hope he's as entertaining on the field as he is in these videos, because there is something to his game that is left to be desired. He doesn't have explosiveness. He doesn't have downfield speed. He is a big body. He is a power forward at wide receiver. And I think that there's a role for that. And obviously Josh Allen wants that role filled by Coleman. He liked him. He told the GM about him. Allen's glad that Coleman was drafted by the Bills. But I don't know if it's necessarily going to mean that he's going to be the target leader for Buffalo. In fact, I don't even think it's going to be a wide receiver that's a target leader for Buffalo. But I think there's going to be a role open for Shakir, who had a bunch of touchdowns in the second half of last season. Should be somebody Kincaid doesn't take to being a stud tight end. Well, I don't think Curtis Samuel is going to be the guy that's going to have a ton of targets week in and week out. I think Shakir can do it, not up anywhere. I think he's going to play a lot. And for the double-digit round cost, happy to have that guy begin the season on my bench in fantasy.
Looks like I'm having some internet issues. I apologize for that. If you're listening, I probably missed
it. Yeah, do you need me to repeat all that?
No,
again?
That's okay. I got most of it. Might have missed a little bit of a chunk of what Dave said there. All right, so Khalil Shakir is still a sleeper for Dave. He's a yak machine. He had the third most yak per catch last year behind only Deebo Samuel and Rashee Rice. That's among wide receivers with 45 or more targets. Just that it's a small sample size, but in 2 years, he's been great after the catch, Khalil Shakir. Rico Dowdle, Jamie, that was one of your sleepers. He went in round 11. He went three rounds after Ezekiel Elliott. And I'm just wondering, why? Should he be going before Ezekiel Elliott? I should have brought this up last week. I really regret not doing so when Zeke was signed, but why not Rico Dowdle ahead of Zeke?
He's not going to get drafted ahead of Zeke now. But come August, if he's the guy taking the first snap in training camp, if he's the guy atop the depth chart, if he's the guy that the Cowboys are going to lean on, then obviously that will change. Now, we'll find out what's going to happen. I believe there was a story in The Athletic about the Bears maybe shopping Khalil Herbert. Could see a situation, maybe the Texans decide to put Damien Pierce on the block. There's going to be another, you know, guy or two that has some name value that Dallas may kick the tires on, which makes total sense. I mean, you know, you have Zeke near 30, you have Dowdle, who's unproven, you have Deuce Vaughn and Royce Freeman. You know, these are guys that aren't exactly going to, I think, scare defenses at this point. But for now, it's Zeke and Dowdle, at least in what I would assume to be the top two guys on the depth chart. So Dowdle is somebody that they, you know, have invested in over the last couple of seasons. You know, I don't know if he's ever going to be, you know, similar to what Dave said about Khalil Shakir, breakout type of player, but this is a huge opportunity. We've spent a lot of time following Tony Pollard's departure through the NFL draft saying that this is the best landing spot for any of the running backs, and they just haven't added anybody of significance aside from Ezekiel Elliott. So this should be somebody that you have some interest in with a later round pick. And again, that could change depending on how things go in training camp for Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, three rounds later than Zeke, Dave, would you rather have Dowdle three rounds later than Zeke or Zeke in round eight?
I'd rather have Dowdle three rounds later because, A, I don't really know if I want a Cowboys running back, at least if these are the Cowboys running backs. But if I had to bet on one, I'll take the younger guy. And with the later draft capital, when I cut him, it won't hurt as bad as when I take Zeke and I cut him potentially.
Okay. Been a long winding road for Rico Dowdle. He had seven carries in 2020. He missed 2021 with a hip injury. He had no carries in five games and had an ankle injury in 2022. This guy was an undrafted free agent. So at this point in his career, it would be something. But, you know, that's the thing about running back. You just need those opportunities. We have an opportunity to be on national TV today, and I'm fired up. I got a haircut the other day, considering keeping the beard for the show. Yeah. Dave, your thoughts? Beard or no beard?
I'm going to vote beard, but I think we should put it in a poll on YouTube and let the YouTubers decide what you do with your face.
All right. We got a new producer today. We have Schaefer on vacation. So we have Nada hanging out with us. He's our producer for the week. He can put up a YouTube. Yeah. I think beard is definitely going to win. All right. I'll keep it. I just don't want to look unprofessional. But we'll be on CBS Sports Network Monday today, this afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern. Set your DVRs if you can't watch it live. But yeah, watch it live on CBS Sports Network. Check your cable provider. I think you can watch on the CBS Sports app as well.
Yo, you got a lot of gray in that beard.
Oh, I was okay. Maybe I'll shave it then. That's not cool, man.
I mean, Jamie did shave his.
He did. You did shave. Yes. Look at you. Yeah, you gonna wear the hat? Hat or no hat, Jamie?
Oh, no hat. But I did. So I got a haircut Friday, and I shaved the beard Thursday night. But I went to this is a funny story. I went to breakfast with two buddies of mine, and so I left a mustache just to be funny. I'd drop off my middle son and then I was going to go meet them. He forgot his water bottle. And my youngest son, wore the wrong shirt today, that day for school. Cause they were having like something to recognize the staff. So I had to walk into two schools looking like a,
like Ron Burgundy.
Yes. That is awesome. And Dave thinks that, okay, I'll ask you, Jamie. So I go to this barber and he actually has like a rewards card. He stamps it every time.
You wear shirts that so people can recognize you.
Yeah, right, right. So if you get, I think, 10 haircuts, you get a free one. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been there a lot. I mean, I probably had 7-8 haircuts there. And I usually forget to get my card punched. And then when I do remember, he'll never give me like a double stamp. He'll never give me like a, oh, I know you forgot last time. So yeah. I think he should. I think he should honor it. Like, I'm a regular. What do you think? Dave says no. Dave says you, it's my fault and I don't deserve the double stamp.
It is your fault.
Your fault.
Are you a good tipper?
$5. And it's hit, and he owns the store and I still tip him $5.
Oh, here we go. I mean, you should still tip him.
But he gets all the money. I do tip him.
If
tell me good, you've never owned a business. Or
if you're a good tipper, I might bring it up. If you're not a good tipper, I would say just.
You tell me, am I a good tipper? Is $5 a good enough tip?
Five is fine. You could be, if you're really going to be that, if you're a regular somewhere, you want to be a little bit better than $5 on a $30 tab. My
it's opinion. $30? You don't even do 20%?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that would be what? $6? You want me to give him $6? Five.
No, don't do it.
That's like insulting. $6. It's just weird. All right, let me go through some news items real quick.
I don't know, man. I'd want to have a barber on my side.
The Dolphins, he's excellent.
And is this the one that cut your ear too?
No, that was years ago.
All right, is this the one that cut the three lines on the side of your head after you lost the bet?
The Dolphins signed Odell Beckham to a one-year deal. Does that matter?
Yes.
Okay, why?
I mean, it's another weapon for Tua. He still was pretty productive down the field last year, despite not putting up big numbers. So gives him another weapon. It's going to hurt a little bit for Tyreek and Waddle. Not enough, I think, where you have to significantly downgrade them, but it is somebody that's an upgrade over Braxton Berrios and whatever they were throwing out there, Cedric Wilson as their third receiver a year ago. And it kind of hurts Malik Washington. You know, we talked about this following the draft, that this could be a fun option, you know, to maybe see what can develop there. And so now I think you got to wait a year, you know, so almost, you know, plan on him being a redshirt in some capacity. But in any event, it's a good thing for Tua and slight knock for the other two guys.
Yeah, Beckham really wasn't bad last year when you consider he barely played real. I mean, he's usually playing right about half the snaps. Week one, he played 92% of the snaps. Week two, 52% of the snaps. Then he missed two games, and he never played 60% of the snaps the rest of the season. But I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think on a per-route basis, he was actually really good. So
15.4 yards per catch, that's really good. That came on a 14-yard A-dot. His yards per route run was a little 1.8. Usually you want that number to be 2.0 or higher. And yards per target, I know you like this stat. Heath likes this stat. 8.4. I believe anything over 8 is
good. I don't
care
about yards per target, honestly.
Oh, I thought you did.
It's fine.
He's also, 32 and 30, coming off?
31.
Be 32, maybe?
He will be 32 on November 5th.
Okay, so 31, 32.
Buckle my shirt.
Injury track record.
All right. I should have snuck in a break before that, but we'll sneak in a break now. We'll talk about some more. We got a lot of news actually today. We got Najee Harris, Nick Chubb, Damian Pierce, Drake May. We got news items on Darren Waller and more. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football
Team. And the receivers for the Chargers too.
Mm-hmm. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Yes, Jamie said new receiver for the Chargers, and I Forgot to put that in the notes. So
Chargers.
So DJ Chark is on the Chargers. We'll get to him in a minute. Steelers did not exercise Najee Harris's fifth-year option. Nick Chubb is progressing nicely, according to GM Andrew Berry. And yes, here we go. The Chargers signing DJ Chark. Does this matter, Dave?
I think it matters for Justin Herbert, kind of like the same way that Odell matters for Tua. I can't sit here and say that I'm excited about drafting DJ Chark. I haven't been that way in several years, I don't feel like. But in the event that you're playing best ball, keep him in mind for a late-round pick. It is another downfield target for Herbert. That's a good thing.
Okay, does it affect Josh Palmer, Quentin Johnston, Ladd McConkey?
Yes, definitely.
It does?
Yes, the door's wide open after Ladd McConkey. I didn't hear you say McConkey. Oh, okay. I don't think this affects McConkey.
Okay.
But as far as the other receivers, there's going to be a camp competition. There was an interesting video, I don't know if you guys saw it, on X, where Marvin Harrison and Quentin Johnston were working out together, and they were both like running routes, doing drills, all this stuff. And I just thought to myself, weird dichotomy between those two. They're both, you know, young NFL players. And one is just, you know, we're loving this guy in fantasy without him playing a single down in the NFL. And the other guy was a total bust as a rookie. And here they are working out together. I just found it kind of interesting that that was the duo that was on the field together at the same time.
After signing Chark, they also worked out MVS. And that's another sort of, see, like they have a type.
Speed guy.
Yeah, they have a type. Yeah. You know, yep. So they're looking for guys that can make plays down the field. And so, you know, I'm hopeful that Quentin Johnston could bounce back, but it's not looking good when they're bringing in players that have similar skill sets.
That's a good point. Houston GM Nick Caserio said that Dameon Pierce will be a big part of what they do this season. I don't think we're necessarily believing that. Head coach Gerard Mayo of the Patriots. Oh boy. Did we miss? I missed the good roast last night, apparently. Did you guys watch it?
Oh, my gosh.
No, I haven't watched it.
Yeah, I saw it some.
I saw a bunch of the highlights, though, so I feel like I saw enough.
It was incredible. It was really a very well-done, entertaining show.
I can't wait to watch. This is Tom Brady roast on Netflix, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, Nick Caserio used to... Okay. It was not Caserio. It was Gerard Mayo. That's what got me to that, thinking about that. Gerard Mayo, the Patriots head coach, said Drake May and Jacoby Brissett will compete for the starting job. A couple of Giants notes. I know you've all been waiting patiently for that. Dan Duggan of The Athletic believes that second-year running back Eric Gray has a clear path to a bigger role. We will see. So that's 2 years in a row they drafted a running back on day three, Eric Gray in 2023, and just a week ago it was Tyrone Tracy. Dan Duggan said that he said Darren Waller's expected retirement. That is probably what we should be expecting then at this point. And Daniel Bellinger could have more of a role in the passing games. The Giants have brought in some blocking tight ends, so Bellinger might set him loose a little bit. ESPN's Jeff Keim says that the Commanders want to rely on a strong defense and run game to take pressure off of Jaden Daniels.
Is that John Keim's brother?
Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry, David Azar.
Take your brother to work day. And the Commanders actually, because I remember reading they wanted like this downhill running game last year and whatnot. They led the NFL in pass attempts last year. So what a team says now.
Completely really different coaching staff now, man.
No, I know. The point is what a team says in May doesn't really matter
right
that much.
What happens in a game is what matters.
The Bills signed Chase Claypool. Cowboys cornerback Trayvon Diggs expected to be ready for training camp. He's recovering from a torn ACL. And Baltimore rookie running back Rasheen Ali will be ready for training camp. He's recovering from a ruptured bicep. All right, let's get to the sleepers. We're going to start with Dave's sleepers. We're going to start with his wide receivers. And let's go three at a time here. Christian Watson in round nine. I'm going to tell you where they went in the draft we did last week. Christian Watson, round nine. Deontay Johnson, round six, one pick before, arguably the best pick in the draft, Malik Nabers. Deontay Johnson, round six. JSN, also round nine, just after Christian Watson.
So let's start with Deontay Johnson. Yeah. If this is where he's going to get drafted, round six, round seven, even in full PPR, that's not much of a sleeper, but it is somebody that fantasy managers should keep in mind as a settle for wide receiver. I think he can get enough target volume, even with the addition of Xavier Leggett and with Adam Thielen there and Jonathan Brooks, once he's healthy, to still see good numbers from week to week as far as receptions go. I don't know about 100-yard games. We know that you can't count on him for a lot of touchdowns now that he's in Carolina. but he's in that range of receivers that might be able to get that done in PPR leagues only. With Watson and with JSN, these are more talent plays versus stat plays. We know that these guys stunk for fantasy last year. The opportunities weren't great for them. In the case of Watson, he was hurt for half the year. Hopefully he can stay healthy. The best stat I can give on Watson, touchdowns per catches. He had a touchdown every 5.9 catches in 2022, a touchdown every 5.6 in 2023. If you believe that the Packers are going to still score a lot of points and Watson's healthy, yeah, this is a guy that you want to go ahead and target. If it's that round nine range, that means it's right around pick 100. Perfect guy to roll the dice on then. And with JSN, I'm not ready to say that he's a total bust because of where he is. He could easily take a step forward, even with Tyler Lockett there, work the middle of the field a little bit more, and develop into a second-year breakout in Seattle. He went in round where, Adam? Round
JSN nine? Went five picks after Christian Watson in round nine.
Yeah, I don't mind that either. Put him on the exact same list as Christian Watson. Just he's not in the same type of offense as Christian Watson.
Okay, with Christian Watson, I just had this thought here.
Yeah.
How many wide receivers in fantasy who will be drafted, you know, second on their team amongst wide, behind a teammate, behind a wide receiver on their team, have a better chance of, you know, beating the guy ahead of them? Because Watson's going to go after Reed. He went two rounds after Reed. You could maybe look at Hopkins.
Diggs and Collins fall in the category, depending which one goes first.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be so close, but that's not bad. Maybe you could maybe say Tank Dell.
Ayuk and Debo.
Again, they'll be close. Let's see. Ayuk, they went back to back in this draft.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of, you know, guys that are in that range.
Hopkins and Ridley, I think that you know, there's a big gap between them.
Right. Well, the receiver that goes first would be the favorite, obviously.
Yeah.
It's just how big of a favorite that receiver would be. Like, I would imagine that people would say Calvin Ridley is probably like a 65% favorite to be the better receiver in Tennessee. I don't think the percentage would be that high for Watson. Or for Reed, rather, behind Watson. That could be a lot.
If Christian Watson is healthy, he'll be the best receiver in Green Bay.
Exactly. If he can stay healthy all season long and he continues to rack up touchdowns, man, that's easy. Awesome value. I think it's a little bit steeper for Smith and Jigba because of Metcalf there. And listen, didn't Lockett lead this team in targets and catches last year?
Targets for sure. I don't know catches.
Pretty sure he did. I can double check.
It makes sense, but I definitely know he led him in targets.
Yeah.
Okay. So another guy on your sleepers list, Dave, is Roma Dunze, and he went in between Christian Watson and Jackson Smith and Jigba. So how do you, you know, if you're up in round nine or something, how do you decide between Christian Watson, JSN, and Roma Dunze?
Well, I have it ranked where it's Christian Watson, JSN, and Roma Dunze. So that would be where I would go with it. And it's just Dunze being a rookie receiver with a rookie quarterback. I'm not ready to give him the benefit of the doubt yet. But making the case for him as an awesome sleeper is easy to do. Super talented wideout in an offense with two veteran wide receivers, one of which, obviously this being Keenan Allen, doesn't have a totally versatile role. We expect him to be a slot guy, expect him to have a low A dot, and expect him to potentially miss some time because he's an older receiver. And when those games come, Odunze could easily pick up the snack. Was that a Freudian slip or what? He could easily pick up the slack and put up 7-8 targets per game, be a really good receiver for fantasy. He could also possibly break out. You know, camp goes his way. We know that he's talented enough to do it. We were hoping he'd go to a team where he could be a number one wide receiver. Now he might begin the year as a number three. By the end of the year, he could be number two. And so that's why the idea with Odunze would be you draft him, you sit on him, you wait for him to do something good, and then you put him in your lineup as a wide receiver three.
It's just the irony of all this is that Shane Waldron is the coordinator from Seattle a year ago.
Yes.
Who had a similar situation.
Oh, that's a great point, yeah.
And now he has a similar situation that the rookie maybe, I don't want to say more talented, but might have more upside than the second guy.
Yes.
You know, at this point.
Which is crazy. Career. It's crazy to say that.
And so... Well, I mean, look, you know, Keenan Allen's going to be 32 and, you know, missed four games last year. It's hard to know if Keenan Allen was actually injured for those four games or just the Chargers were in such a bad spot without Herbert there and he was hurt. And so not fighting through whatever injury he was playing with. Because if they're in a playoff hunt, you know, could he have gone out there? I have no idea. I'm just speculating. But, you know, I mean, look, it's going to be hard to say for JSN and Odunze. You can get a little bit better feeling for JSN because, okay, did he do enough as a rookie? Like, he needs more targets. He needs more opportunities. He needs more, you know, attention in the offense. And that will help things for that team because you're getting the higher upside player on the field more. And the Bears, they just may take their time with it. You know, I think they obviously want to, you know, grow and cultivate Caleb Williams as much as possible. And so does Keenan Allen help that more than Odunze does in terms of how they operate with, you know, two receiver sets versus three receiver sets and using tight ends, et cetera. So they have a lot of weapons. They have a lot of moving parts. You know, I mean, with Gerald Everett there and Cole Kmet as well, you know, and they'll certainly throw to their backs. You know, they have, you know, certainly two guys that can catch the ball quite a bit in DeAndre Swift and Roshan Johnson. So it's a lot to ask for Odunze to be successful if everybody's healthy.
Well, one of the things that worked against JSN last year is that Metcalf and Lockett, they basically never get hurt, those guys. They rarely miss games. Meanwhile, Keenan Allen has missed, what? He's missed 11 games over the last two seasons. So right there, that's an opening. You might need that. You might need an injury, but maybe you look at that and say you got an aging wide receiver who's missed 11 games over the last two seasons. That could be a reason to put Rome Odunze on your bench and, you know, you just be one of those terrible people who roots for an injury. That's something that I would never do, but you out there, you're a terrible person. You might do it.
I like to go back and look and like how many people stashed JSN, used him for the couple of games where there was injuries, and how successful were they in managing their roster that way. Because these are the type of players that kill your team. You know, like they're so talented, there's so much upside, there's so much potential. You can't cut them because you know the minute that there's an injury, he's the most coveted player in your league. Yep. And then somebody else benefits from that.
He had 16.3 PPR points in the one game DK Metcalf missed last year. It was against Arizona.
Right. And Lockett's, what, 31? And then if you look at Deontay Johnson, Adam Thielen is even older than that, and Keenan Allen's older than that. So you've got guys on your list, Dave, that have an opportunity, even if there isn't an injury, maybe just performance-wise to break out a little bit. One thing I'll say, and you mentioned that Deontay Johnson going in the sixth round, that's not a sleeper. I actually thought that was one of the worst picks. I hated that pick, Deontay Johnson in the.
Yeah, it felt a little harsh,
but I didn't think it was a good pick to take him in the sixth round. So when is an appropriate time to take Deontay Johnson?
One round later.
Yeah.
Jaden Reed or Deontay?
Reed.
I'll take Deontay in PBR.
Ladd McConkey or Deontay?
Deontay.
I'll take McConkey.
Can I throw a sleeper in the ring here in the mix? I'm just looking at this draft.
Bring it on.
Chris Godwin. He went around later than Deontay Johnson. They're moving him back to the slot this year.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it.
I love targeting him ahead of everybody we've named so far.
Okay.
That's an easy one.
The last receiver on your list. Oh no, two more. Jameson Williams and Jalen Polk.
So Jameson is certainly going to get an opportunity to play a larger role in the Lions offense. I don't know if it's going to be enough to make him like a megastar in fantasy. He obviously has that upside. Would I take him ahead of Godwin, for example? No, I don't think so. He's kind of in that same range, though, as Watson, JSN, Odunze. Just another one of these wide receivers who, if things break right, the opportunity is there. Man, you're going to be glad you took him with a pick around round 100. Or round 100, pick 100, excuse me. I'm all over the place today. But if he doesn't break out, you're going to be nervous to cut him. So we got to figure out a name for these types of players. There's probably a good one out there.
Oh, he will get cut. Definitely get cut.
Who, Jameson?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's enough of a sample size with him that I think people have soured on it. Plus, you're looking at a situation where he's not going to command targets in this offense. He's going to be 3 to 5 targets, I think, consistently, even with the opportunity, because he's just not that type of player. With St. Brown and Laporta healthy and what they'll do with Jahmyr Gibbs and even David Montgomery, you know, I don't think they're done adding to their receiving core. Also, I think this will be a team that, you know, kicks the tires on some of these guys that are still out there or get cut. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're done. That said, it's a huge opportunity. I agree with you 100%. He's one of my favorite sleepers to target. I wrote about this in the first sleepers version that I did, because there is so much opportunity and so much excitement. But I do think that if he gets off to a slow start, he's getting cut in a lot of leagues.
James Williams, yeah. The first guy I remember thinking, this guy is too good to cut, but not good enough to start, back in the day, was Tevin Coleman. And I never wanted to draft Tevin Coleman. I feel like, you know, Deontay Freeman was the man. Devontae Freeman, sorry. And Coleman had a role, and he was like a 7th, 8th round pick, and I never wanted him because you could never start him. You were just waiting for an injury. He would be amazing if there were an injury, but you couldn't bench him. You couldn't cut him because he'd be the first guy picked up, exactly. So
there's so many handcuffs throughout the years that you can put in this category of just – he's one injury away and the guy in front of him is injury prone and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, the guy stays healthy for 6-7 weeks in front of him. And then you cut that guy. And that's the minute that player unfortunately gets hurt.
Now, we need to think of a guy who's just been in the NFL or any league for so long and just has a bench role and like just always finds a team. But okay. Anyway, let's go to your running back sleepers.
Deontay Foreman.
Need a little more like an old guy, like a Udonis Haslam. running back Tajay Spears. He went 8.3 in between Ramondre Stevenson and Ezekiel Elliott. And then
in 9 games.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. Go ahead, Tajay.
9 games last year with at least 9 touches. He averaged 10.5 PPR points per game. I think we know him as a good passing downs running back. I think he's going to get the opportunity to probably just work in tandem with Tony Pollard. And we don't know exactly how that'll shake out, but the Titans just might view both of these guys in the same way. And so there might not be one that it could be Tony Pollard gets the first drive. Tajay Spears gets the second drive. And then when one's tired, the other one goes in. Maybe Spears fits in as the 2-minute drill running back. I don't know who would be the goal line back, because neither one of them is particularly great in short yardage situations. That's something to be concerned about. It could be a third running back that we're not thinking about. But I think Spears would have a humongous opportunity if Tony Pollard were to get benched or miss time for whatever reason. And we've seen him play with good efficiency as a rookie. Second year in, offensive line's better. Could see a little spike in fantasy points per game. It's a good idea to have running backs like that on your bench.
So he went in between Ramondre Stevenson and Zeke. Your thoughts?
Rather have Ramondre.
Yeah, I'd rather have Ramondre too, but that's exactly I've got both of them a little bit ahead of Zeke. I'm not on the Zeke bandwagon. I expect the Cowboys to do more with their backfield, as Jamie's alluded to. But I think he should go before pick 100, Spears. So where he went in this draft, perfect.
Yeah, he's going to go a little bit higher because there's still some speculation that he may be the best running back for Tennessee based on some of the things that Callahan has said. And we saw what he was able to do in a small sample size last year. I think the hype will get a little bit, I don't want to say out of control, but to a point where these guys, and we saw it, I think, in their first draft, that the first draft we did following free agency, they were almost back-to-back. I think there was actually one draft where Spears went first.
I think you're right. I'm looking at this right now.
Where Robert Thomas, if I'm not mistaken, guy who does our Facebook page.
Yeah, so 48th overall.
I don't really put Spears in a sleeper category. I feel like, if anything, he's going to be a breakout candidate. ADP will probably determine the type of player that he is if you're going to categorize these guys. So if he's going closer to pick 100, then I think he's worth, you know, considering as a sleeper. But the bottom line is, as Dave said, he's somebody you want on your team because he's an injury away from being a superstar, and he may end up being the best running back for Tennessee outright without an injury.
Dave, how sick do you feel when you take Tony Pollard 61st overall and then Spears goes 26 picks later or something like that?
Not the best feeling in the world. You're hoping that Pollard gets just a little bit more of an opportunity to begin the year and can turn that into something that doesn't change or maybe improves as the year goes on.
I have a better question. You took Tony Pollard with the first pick of round 6. You were up again at the turn, round 7-8. You took Najee Harris and Evan Ingram. Did you
get Of course. If I had known that Najee was going to fall that far, I would have probably taken another position.
That wasn't the question. Give any thought to taking Tajay Spears when you already had Pollard?
No.
Okay. So maybe it was a worse question after all. All right, let's go through your running backs quickly here. Chase Brown, first pick of round 9. He went one pick ahead of Devin Singletary. He also went ahead of Jalen Warren. I think that's a mistake. I think Warren should have gone ahead of Chase Brown. But do you like Chase Brown in round 9?
I think Brown's got a little bit more potential to put up nicer numbers than Warren. I think we know what Warren is. And after last year, I don't know if the Steelers, even with Arthur Smith coming in, I don't know if they're ready to make him the lead back if Najee's healthy.
So you would do that? You would take Brown over Warren?
I would take Brown. They're back-to-back in my rankings. Oh, I'm not going to fault you for taking Warren. But I spent the whole year watching Jalen Warren, obviously. He was my favorite sleeper last year. And he felt like 10 PPR points per game. And that's not bad. That's a good role to have. But it's not – I don't know what the odds are of him getting to 12 or 13 PPR points per game. Now, I can't sit here and say that the odds are great for Chase Brown to do the exact same thing. I just know that his situation doesn't feel as locked in to not changing like it is for Jalen in Pittsburgh.
Fair. Real quick, Zach Moss in round 7 or Chase Brown in round 9? What do you like better?
I'm going to say Moss for now.
Yeah.
That was my pick.
That's a good pick.
Thank you. Okay.
He's a settle for running back. There's a bunch of them in this.
Gus Edwards. World. I do not see him as a settle for running back. Gus Edwards. Is one of your targeting
Zach Moss.
Oh, in round 7? Yeah. I mean, I think I may have taken him a little bit too early in a previous draft in round 6, but I've said it so many times, there's absolutely no evidence to suggest that Joe Mixon is a better player than Zach Moss. And Mixon, Moss won't get the catches of Mixon. But, you know, Mixon was like a round 2-3 pick. I think Moss in round 7 is terrific. Gus.
You've just got to hope that Moss gets the same type of opportunities that Mixon.
No, he won't.
That's something I don't think we can promise.
No, he won't get that. But that's why he's not even close to where Mixon was being drafted.
Right.
Anyway, Gus Edwards was drafted in round 9. He's one of your sleepers. We got Edwards in round 9, Dobbins in round 11, Kamani Vidal in round 13. What's the best value there amongst the Chargers running backs?
Let's start with Edwards just because we've seen it from him before. This is a Chargers team that clearly after the draft and what they showed us in the draft, they would be happy to run the ball as much as possible. And Gus, for what it's worth, has been efficient. Maybe that was because he was playing with Lamar Jackson. Probably won't have the same type of yards per carry this year as he has in the past, but he's going to get those touchdown opportunities. He'll also benefit greatly from the offensive line. He's just got to stay healthy to do it. I don't want to take him. It's got to be like a round 9 pick for Gus Edwards at the absolute earliest. But he could end up scoring 10 touchdowns this year.
Okay. But he's the best value there. Edwards in round 9, Dobbins 11, Vidal 13.
I don't know what Dobbins is yet, and I don't know what Vidal is either.
I keep saying Vidal, which is, by the way, how I do believe it is pronounced. You might be looking at the spelling and going, Adam, you're an idiot, but I heard it pronounced Vidal like 100 times, so I'm rolling with that. Blake Corum, first pick, almost the last pick, 10th pick of round 10, one pick after Jalen Wright, who I believe is on Jamie's sleepers list. Who do you guys like better, Jalen Wright or Blake Corum?
Depends what you need. If you need somebody that has a chance to play sooner, I would take Corum. If you need someone who's going to be more of a league winner, I would take Jalen Wright. I think if there's injuries to both backfields, I would rather have the Dolphins starter than I would the Rams starter right now. In those two guys.
I'll take the other side of this. I think if the starters go down, I'll take Corum because I don't know if the Rams even have another running back that they would want to put in. I don't think it's Ronnie Rivers. I think Corum would get that opportunity. I think they drafted Corum. They said as much. He reminds them of Kyren Williams. And this is
the Dolphins said the same thing about Jalen Wright reminding them of Raheem Mostert.
Sure. But the very first thing that I want to say to you is whenever there's a running back that goes down in Miami, they're still going to stick with using multiple.
No, that's what I'm saying. It would take two injuries. I mean, there's certainly more of an opportunity. That's why I said if you need somebody that's going to play right away, you'd rather have Corum because not only will he probably play in tandem with Kyren Williams, there's only one guy he has to jump over as opposed to.
And if Kyren Williams gets off to a sluggish start, we've seen this coaching staff make a very quick change at running back before. Last year, a perfect example, Corum can end up being the feature guy.
Well, I mean, they did that before the season started, though.
No, week one, they gave Cam Akers a lot of work. And by week two, Cam Akers was back in the Cam Akers ceremonial doghouse at Rams practice.
To be fair, also, when Kyron missed four games, they used two guys.
They did. They didn't have Cam Akers at that point. I'm not one to take Kyron Williams in round one anymore. If I did draft Kyron Williams, I'm reaching for Blake Corum before 10th pick of round 10.
Yeah.
There's no way he should go that late anyway. But I'm going to want to back him up just in case. That's a backfield I want to lock up.
Thomas had the chance. Thomas took Kyron Williams in round two, and then he took his fifth wide receiver, Tyler Lockett, in round 10. I think that would have been a good time to take Blake Corum instead. Jake Ferguson went as tight end 12. That's your tight end sleeper that you provided, Dave. Tight end 12 and 11th round for Ferguson.
Another Cowboy that benefited from the offseason because Dallas didn't do much to improve their offense other than the offensive line. And that's something that they needed to do. I'm glad Dallas did it that way, and it's going to work out for Ferguson. He was second on the team in targets last year. He was a big-time red zone threat. He was playing the Jason Witten, Dalton Schultz role. He did fine with it. He's not going to be a top five fantasy tight end. I don't see that happening, but I think he can be a starting fantasy tight end and a great guy to target late if you do the greater late strategy.
I would say Jake Ferguson is my favorite settle for tight end. A guy that I target if I've missed out on like the top seven or eight. Once Pitts is off the board, probably, I'm probably just hoping I can wait a few rounds and get Ferguson. Is that too strong of a...
No.
Okay.
I've done perfect. I mean, similar things.
Yeah. He's tight end 9 for me. Like, I take him over to Njoku.
Yeah, me too.
I would too.
Quarterback sleepers are the rookies, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, and JJ McCarthy. In this draft that we did last week, Williams went in round 9, and then Daniels went in round 13, and McCarthy was not drafted. How do you rank them, Dave, real quick?
Daniels, Williams, McCarthy.
Daniels, Williams are back-to-back for you or no?
Yeah, they're very close, and then McCarthy's several spots behind.
Should McCarthy be drafted in a 1QB league?
You don't have to draft him. No.
Okay, then I won't. All right. Sorry to shortchange the quarterbacks there. We talked a lot about them last week, and we have a whole list of Jamie's sleepers to get to. So we'll take a commercial break, get to Jamie's sleepers and the fantasy cops right after this on FFT.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, we're going to start with Jamie's wide receiver sleepers. We've got three rookies on this list. Xavier Worthy, Brian Thomas, and Troy Franklin. Let's take a look at how they were drafted. Worthy from the Chiefs, Brian Thomas for the Jaguars, Troy Franklin for the Broncos. Worthy was drafted in round 9. in between Roma Dunze and JSN. Brian Thomas, round 10, just after Jacoby Myers and Tyler Lockett. And Troy Franklin, round 12. What do you think the best value there is, Jamie? Worthy in round 9, Thomas in round 10, Franklin in round 12.
With a significant suspension for Rashee Rice, Worthy by a mile. Moderate suspension for Rice, or little to no suspension, I will take Thomas. There's like, what, 200 targets vacated from the Jaguars offense that Thomas and Gabe Davis were trying to fill to replace Calvin Ridley and Zay Jones? Like, no offense to Gabe Davis, but Thomas could be an absolute monster if he picks up things quickly. Now, Kirk and Ingram should benefit because I don't think – Kirk specifically, because Ingram, it's hard to expect more than 100-plus catches from a tight end. So, you know, he should, in my opinion, easily be tight end 6 coming off the board in most leagues. Kirk is a borderline top 24 guy, but in terms of, like, just sleeper potential, you know, Thomas playing the Calvin Ridley role is pretty fantastic. If he can do some of the similar things that Calvin Ridley did, you know, the expectations are dramatically different. We were expecting Calvin Ridley to be a borderline top 12 guy last year with the opportunity he had in Jacksonville. Thomas won't do that. And he's obviously a raw product coming out of LSU, even though he was successful in his final year there. But, you know, it's everything you hear is just, you know, he's still got a room to grow, which is great for his long-term potential. But I think just for what his opportunity is and where you'll be able to draft him, he's going to be on a lot of my fantasy teams.
All right. You also have this is an interesting one. You have Jahan Dotson as a sleeper, and he was a round 12 pick in this draft. Dotson went, this was round 12, if anybody remembers, was the rookie round. 7 of the picks in round 12 were rookies. So Dotson went just before Malachi Corley of the Jets, Ricky Pearsall of the Niners, Troy Franklin of the Broncos, Jalen Polk of the Patriots. Should Dotson be drafted ahead of those guys?
Yeah, and to be honest, I was looking at him in round 10, and the reason I didn't take him was because I already took McLaurin. So I was just trying to diversify a little bit. If I hadn't taken McLaurin, I would have taken Dotson in that spot. Third-year receiver, flashed as a rookie, disappointed last year, no more Curtis Samuel. You'll see, you know, you have the list in front of you. I like Benson, and I think it's a good landing spot for him as a rookie tight end there in Washington. But this is a receiving core that's, you know, lacking for not lacking for talent, but lacking for, you know, guys I think that are going to command targets. You know, they drafted McCaffrey's little brother. You know, he could be the third receiver there. I think that speaks volumes to what the volume will be for McLaurin and for Dotson. So getting more excited about McLaurin and more excited about Dotson, you know, entering his third season, hopefully this will be the type of third-year breakout player that we talk about, you know, not like maybe to Nico Collins heights, but in a similar capacity of a guy that can take a huge step forward with a new quarterback, with a new system, and a guy that, again, we were very excited about going into last year.
I would argue that he's an easier receiver to draft than some of the guys on my sleeper list because he's got that same type of breakout potential. But if it's week 3 and we're not seeing it from Dotson, I don't think you're going to sweat it much if you cut him.
I'm sorry. I am trying to find this research I did about rookie quarterbacks. I want to know, how confident are you that this passing game will be more productive? It will be better, you'd think, more efficient. Because remember, yes, like I said, they led the NFL in passing, in attempts last year. But in terms of yards and touchdowns, do you think the Commanders are going to exceed what they did last year?
Probably not, at least for the majority of the season. There may be a stretch where, you know, if you go on a per-game basis, it might look better once Jaden Daniels gets comfortable. Remember, he's a 24-year-old rookie, you know, so it's not like we're talking about a kid coming in here that hasn't played enough. He's played at 2 schools. He's got an opportunity, I think, to step in and pick up an offense that I think is going to be catered to him, which is why Cliff Kingsbury is there. And so when we talk about investments, like, this is a perfect friendship strategy type of opportunity here. So, you know, maybe I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth by not taking both Washington receivers. You really just need one of these guys to be successful, right, for where they're the split and where they're being drafted. You know, so if you draft McLaurin and Dotson, if one guy pops, he'll be great. And so that's kind of the hope. Are two guys going to be fantastic in this offense? Probably not. But Dotson showed you as a rookie, 7 touchdowns. He could do it by finding the end zone, not necessarily being a high volume catch and yardage type of guy. So you just have to know what you're getting. There's a reason why he's going, you know, after, you know, in the double digit rounds. He's not necessarily a league winner going into the year, but he might be that coming out of the season. So we'll see. I mean, Kingsbury's offense hasn't exactly been successful in supporting two guys consistently, but we haven't also seen a lot of consistent two options like what Washington may have. You know, the one season of Hopkins and Brown, Brown got hurt, Hopkins was suspended. So, you know, hard to say that those guys would have been as successful as they were. I don't have huge expectations for Dotson, but I love him in this range.
Yeah, the Commanders averaged 245 passing yards per game last year. It is, I would say, very unlikely that Jaden Daniels is going to do that. Maybe not very unlikely, but unlikely. First round picks. Yeah, the ones that go in the top 10, they have a chance. I think like Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow did that. But that's actually not that bad. They were 16th in gross passing yards per game, the Commanders. 24 touchdown passes. Again, I'm probably going to take the under on that for a rushing quarterback in his rookie season. So I do want people to consider that. Consider that the Commanders, I would say, they didn't have a good passing game, but because they threw the ball so much, they had very average, like league average passing production last year. And I just wonder what that means for a McLaurin-Dotson breakout when you might not really get much, you know, more statistics, basically. The one thing I do like about Daniels is Terry McLaurin has had quarterbacks, I think Dave brought this up on an earlier show, that have been so bad. No, you mentioned his off-target rate, McLaurin's off-target rate, but specifically with deep balls. He has had such a bad run of deep ball accuracy, and I feel like Jaden Daniels can be really good at that.
He was at LSU.
He was, right. Now,
if he can, he's got to translate the game. And at 24 years old with a lot of experience, and he's been developing for the past 5 years, and you can see that on the film, I think you can feel good about him being at least serviceable, but he might be able to come right in and just throw like a stud. This is another team that's improved its offensive line as best as it could. I actually love the kid that they drafted, Brandon Coleman. I noticed him a year ago when I was watching TCU, and he was awesome at the Senior Bowl. He was going toe-to-toe with Tavondre Sweat at the Senior Bowl. This is a guy who might be able to play left tackle for them and protect the blind side of Jaden Daniels. It's volume that you have to worry about. And I think that there's going to be enough there to support one wide receiver. I would obviously say that McLaurin has the best chance to be that guy. And if the deep ball catch rate is better, or the catchable passes are better, then yeah, McLaurin's going to have the best year of his career. It might not be by a whole lot, but he'll have a very good year. And if he gets hurt or something happens, then Dotson will have that opportunity. But I think only one of them will be able to do it. If you're drafting McLaurin, let's call it late round five, round six. I don't know where he went in our mock. And then you're getting Dotson in the late rounds. Yeah, friendship strategy. That'll work out, I guess.
He went round six to Jamie. Yeah, 6.8. Okay.
That's awesome. Love that pick.
So Rashid Shaheed is the last receiver on your list. He went in round 13. And he actually had a pretty good year last year, 719 yards and 5 touchdowns on only 75 targets in 15 games. You're definitely going to need more targets for Rashid Shaheed, Jamie, but he's been very efficient.
I mean, look at this receiving core. You know, it's no Michael Thomas, at least for now. They got rid of him or let him walk. We love Chris Olave, understandably so. A.T. Perry, Bub Means, you know, like these are guys that have a long way to go to prove themselves. And Shaheed, I don't think breakout type of player, but could he be a third receiver in a three receiver league? Absolutely. You know, so he'll be a frustrating fantasy option at times. Felt like last year he was starting to see a spike in targets and then he got hurt. And so, you know, that was disappointing to see him not be able to finish it out. But I mean, look, Derek Carr is what he is. Maybe Spencer Rattler at some point changes that, but there's a huge opportunity here and we'll see if he takes advantage of it.
Washington was first in the league in attempts per game. New Orleans was ninth. They were less than two attempts per game behind Washington. So that's a team that threw a lot. And I don't think their offensive identity is going to change that much, even though I don't even know what I'm supposed to say after, even though I don't think their offensive identity is going to change that much.
Well, I think the one thing that for a player like this with Clint Kubiak coming in, is coming from the San Francisco offense, we know yards after catch are big. And so between Olave and Shaheed, they could be as good as anybody in the league with what they do and how they operate. And if, you know, Derek Carr can manage to pick up the system quickly, which I think he will, especially knowing his brother played for Kubiak's father, you know, there's hopefully some level of...
Does that matter? I was your brother's cousin's former roommate.
It's funny you mentioned that, though, because Dennis Allen said he reached out to Derek Carr to make sure there was no issues between David Carr and Kubiak's dad. So the language will matter, you know, and if some of the concepts are the same, you know, those things help. You know, any of these little intangible things help, you know. So when you're changing offenses, and Derek Carr has now been through what, probably at least five or six would be my guess, you know, between what he had with the Raiders and the couple he's already had with New Orleans, you know, terminology and getting familiar with those type of things matters.
Guess who the top three quarterbacks in yards per attempt were last season? Not Carr.
Yards per attempt.
Yeah, one of them. You should get number one, you should get instantly. Brock Purdy, 9.6 yards per attempt.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Purdy. Tua has to be up there.
Tua was two.
Tua was
Carr three.
No. It was Stroud, all coming from the same system. And now that's what you're getting in New Orleans, hopefully. Hopefully an increase there. Okay, Jamie's running back sleepers, Jerome Ford. He went in round 10 just before Roman
Wilson. I'm up all day for that.
That's a good one.
Okay, he went before Roman Wilson and Jalen Wright. Would you have taken Jerome Ford before those rookies?
Oh, yes, 100%.
And let me just check Nick Chubb in this draft. Went in round 8.
I took Chubb in this draft.
Okay.
Round 8.
Yeah,
round 8.
That was late for Chubb. Okay, round 8 for him and Ford in round 10, as I mentioned. And Jalen Wright isn't one of your sleepers. I think we talked about him. Rico Dowdle. Kendry Miller. Let's go. Oh, somebody likes the Saints this year. Kendry Miller, round 12 pick. He went right after Packers rookie Marshawn Lloyd. Okay, thoughts on Miller?
Yeah, screw their starters. I just want all their backups. again, you know, a guy that has an incomplete from his rookie season, you know, didn't get to play very much because of injuries. I don't love the fact that Jamal Williams is still there for now, because that's a roadblock to him, I think, getting featured touches if something happens to Alvin Kamara. But we are talking about a guy that's going to be, I believe, 29 in Kamara. And so should he miss any time, do they go back to Williams, who struggled last year, or do they give, you know, maybe the younger player with more upside an opportunity? So this is just another type of guy that you put on your bench. You see what happens the first few weeks of the season. If he's not playing at all, then it's easy guy to drop. If he's getting worked into the rotation, Tevin Coleman style, then he may be able to, you know, show you some flashes, and you want to hold on to him just in case something happens. So lottery ticket type of running back you'll take with a late round flyer. Somebody you could cut easily, but still, I wouldn't be surprised if there was an injury in front of him. He gets a chance to play more than the guy that's probably listed second on the depth chart right now. Very similar to like Green Bay situation with Marshawn Lloyd, you know, where Lloyd is the guy you'd want as opposed to Dylan, even though Dylan might be second on the depth chart, similar to New Orleans.
All right, we got a comment here from No Thank You, very polite commenter. I feel like Purdy will be good value this year, Brock Purdy. The hype around him has died down, and I see people drafting even some of the rookies ahead of Brock Purdy. He still has amazing weapons and a great system. Why am I reading that after we just talked about Kendry Miller? Because we're going to transition to Jamie's quarterback sleepers, and Brock Purdy is one of them. He went in the 12th round. I took him in that draft. He was my second quarterback. And Tua Tagovailoa was Jamie's second sleeper, who went in the 15th round, I believe, to Dave. He was the second-to-last quarterback taken. And like I said, these guys were 1 and 2 in yards per attempt last season. So, yeah, Brock Purdy has scored 20 or more fantasy points in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues in 16 of his 21 regular season starts. That is awesome. I think he was QB6 last year. Do you think he could do that again?
Absolutely. You know, I think, you know, like No Thank You said, I don't know if the hype has died down around him. They did just, you know, come off a Super Bowl run, and they're going to be favored to be in the Super Bowl again, or at least one of the favorites again. And I know I'm guilty of this. I don't know how Dave has it ranked, but I would rather take the upside of what the rookies bring. And you just said it. He was the sixth quarterback last year. Do I think that he could do that again? Yes. Do I think that the rookies could do it in that range also? Yes. But at least we've seen it from this guy. And when you talk about system and weapons, he has everything that you want. You know, he's got two receivers, maybe now three, that can make a lot of plays for him. He has a tight end that's among the best in football. And we know the best running back in the game that does a lot of his work as a pass catcher. So Brock Purdy gets a lot of easy points, and that's the type of thing you want. So I'll go back to what I said about the rookie quarterbacks when we talked about it following the draft. I think you followed this to a T. you take one of the rookies first and you take a established guy like Purdy right afterwards, you know, you might have let the value go a little bit too far in what most people will have to draft, because I don't think Purdy will fall as far as he did. And I don't think you'll be able to probably get the quarterbacks in this range in most regular drafts. As we know, the ADP gets pushed up a little bit. But if you're going to buy into Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels, whatever order you have them in, try and make sure you do it with one of these type of guys. And I think Purdy, and you want to throw Tua in here too. I mean, Tua just led the NFL in passing yards. He's got two of the best receivers, and now maybe a third guy that's going to help improve things with Odell Beckham. But, you know, systems are great and options around them are great. They just don't run. And that's kind of the appeal that's not there. So you don't get the same type of maybe upside that you might get with Jaden Daniels. And, you know, I think Caleb Williams is going to be fun to have on your fantasy roster, but they're all almost back to back to back for me, those four guys. And I would take all of them over Justin Herbert, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you're talking about following it to a T. Jamie's referencing my team. I took Caleb Williams and then I took Brock Purdy. And I was considering taking Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, but that, I don't know. Purdy's good enough. I didn't feel like I needed to do that. Purdy, I do think, maybe is a little bit underappreciated. The rushing is kind of interesting for Purdy, though. You know, Tua does not run. Purdy rushed for 144 yards last year. That's good. He rushed for 13 yards in 2022. So if he goes down to like a 50-yard rusher, that actually could be fairly significant. His rushing, I remember that he had one game where he had like 50 yards or something against the Bengals. To look that up. He had 57 yards against the Bengals. He had a terrible game. He threw two interceptions.
With a long of what?
I don't know, but there were like some late scrambles there. And he's probably, I'm going to go with, he's not going to rush for 144 yards this year. That's probably a little high for him. Okay, and then Ben Sinnott was the last guy on your sleepers list. He was not drafted. You said I should have taken him over Darren Waller. Probably will have to do that going forward, or else I'll have a retiree on my team. But yeah, Ben Sinnott as a sleeper for you. You like the Commanders.
I mean, athletic profile that we like, you know, is going to be a very good pass catcher at this level. And the draft capital is always something I think you look at with tight end, second round pick in the NFL draft. And so Zach Ertz in his mid to late 30s in front of him, we saw Ertz, you know, struggle to stay healthy 2 years ago when he was starting to get phased out a little bit by a younger player. He wanted to be traded to a contender. I see a very similar situation happening this year if Washington is struggling and he just wants to maybe see if he can latch on with another team because he's starting to get replaced. So the guy in front of him is not exactly the most entrenched player. We talked about the downside. You know, there's not going to be a lot of pass volume in this offense that I think can support three guys. But this could be one of those tight ends that by the end of the season we're saying, okay, pick him up off waivers and not making an impact similar to Sam Laporta or even Dalton Kincaid, because that's a lot to ask. But maybe Luke Musgrave, you know, if you want to attach a rookie to it and, you know, make a comp in terms of production. You know, Musgrave was making a lot of plays for the Packers in a crowded receiving core as the season went on. And then eventually it was Tyler Kraft, you know, once the injury happened to Musgrave. So you could see something similar there, but just love the investment that you have to make with him. Again, late round pick, if you're inclined to take two tight ends, he could easily be somebody that you cut before the middle point of the season, or can turn into something, because won't be Bowers, but could be the second best tight end in this class.
Team name Tuesday on a Monday. Sin it to win it.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of those. Yeah. Election year two. Sin it.
Yeah, I like. Oh, yeah, right. Senator, Senate.
In Washington, no less.
Yeah, from Cody, Fantasy Cops. Says, hey, guys, so I'm in a. This is not loud enough. I got to start this over. You know, I'm sorry. YouTubers, close. Yeah, cover your ears. Oh, yeah. From Cody. I'm in a Dynasty Superflex League, and the morning of our draft, the guy with the first pick, pick 101, asked if anyone would want to talk trades. An important side note, for whatever reason, the linear non-snake draft that we were doing and have done for 4 years had registered as a snake draft. While the guy with 101 and I were messaging about the trade, the other members were talking about correcting the snake draft error in the main league chat. The holder of pick 101 and I messaged privately and we agreed on trading pick 101 for my 106... 210, and Drew Locke. I accepted, and some other league members started commenting on perceived lopsidedness. My trade partner said, it's a snake draft, so 210 is basically a first-round pick. The other members corrected him, letting him know that the draft was changed back to linear while we were negotiating, but before our trade was completed, probably 10 minutes into a 20-minute negotiation session. Okay, this trade caused a protest, and the commissioner vetoed the trade. My argument was that the snake problem was solved in the main league chat while we were both active and had a chance to see, and I was very clear on trading 2.10 and not my other second rounder, 2.6. Should the trade have stood because we both had the chance to know what was going on, or should it have been vetoed?
It's clearly a mistake to have the snake draft, especially if no one in the league talked about it before draft day. Like, no one brought it up saying, hey, why don't we change it to a snake draft this year? No, the commissioner messed up the settings, especially if the last 4 years had been linear drafts. So it should be a linear draft. Here's what should have gone down. The commissioner should have gone to both teams participating in the trade and said, do you want to keep this trade? Here's where the picks are now. And if either team says, no, I don't want to do it, then the trade is reversed. It's as simple as that.
I agree.
Yep. And I believe these people, I think this person got into the league from our Facebook group or something like that. There's like listeners in the league, or I don't know. It's an FFT connection. That's why I read this. I appreciate that. That's awesome. I love that. There's another guy who sent an email about how unhappy he is with his league of like 26 years or something. He wants a new league. This is what the Facebook group and Twitter, I guess, could be for. We'll help you find league mates. We'll help you find new fantasy football friends. I love the little community that we've developed here. So yeah, Dave and Jamie have got it here with the Fantasy Cops. Thank you very much to Cody. Thank you very much to all of you for watching and listening. Thanks to Nada for producing today and for the rest of the week. And we will see you at 2 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports Network. Talk to you then, everybody.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.